What up? I'm Rock Harper. You're now listening to the Chef Rock Experiment, the podcast. Your journey to entertainment, empowerment, and education in the food business begins right now. Let's go. Check, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, Eric King, in the building again. We in Virginia Beach, Vibe Beach. We didn't talk about your product, man. That's my bad. Bad host. We didn't talk about what you hustling tonight. What did you give to the people?
It came up a little bit. We worked it in the conversation. We had Luxardo, fine Italian products. It's probably most known for their maraschino liqueur. So it's the original maraschino liqueur. Marasca cherries, 200-year-old recipe, almost 198-year-old. They've been doing pretty much the same consistent, very light processing. They pick the cherries, stem them, pit them, put them in their own syrup, and all you taste is the flavor of what comes off the farm. So they went from the liqueur on the booze side and started doing cherries for garnishes, and now there's a syrup that's bottled on its own because people fell in love with the syrup. So in the kitchen side, you can do everything from glazes, reductions. Still on the bar side, you can do syrups, you can do sodas. It's a nice rich, it's like a darker cherry, almost like a lindenberry kind of flavor. It's not too tart, not too sweet. There's very little sugar. Again, like this is one of the least processed, least messed with by human hands line of products that there is. They have now a new product, Orgeat syrup, which was a...
What kind of syrup? Say that again.
Orgeat. So it's almond extract. So they use bitter almonds. They deacidify them and put that in an extract and then make a syrup out of it. So it's just literally the extract and some sugar and water, a little citric acid. So they take the acid out so you don't get that kind of grittiness you get from typical Orgeats. It's not thick and gummy. It's got a nice consistency for mixing, baking, glazes, you name it. The final product, the sleeper, is it's called Mumbo Dry. It's got the funniest name.
Mumbo Dry.
Mumbo Dry, yeah. Being from DC, it threw me off, right?
So no relation to Mumbo Sauce?
No relation to Mumbo Sauce whatsoever. It's actually in the family of extracts that you like bacon extracts. So the same way you would use a vanilla extract for a pound cake or et cetera. But this is sugarcane extract. So it actually is alcoholic, but instead of beverage use, is primarily for baking. And it is super aromatic. It smells like everything from butterscotch to bubblegum to cake batter.
What are you using it? Like, how do you use it in a cocktail? So, just put it in and shake it up?
No, I haven't touched it for cocktails. I'm going to take it home tomorrow and make the best rum cake I ever had, though.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
It's essentially like it's this. So, again, there's no sugar added. It's just... sugarcane extract that is 70% alcohol.
Damn.
Yeah. So it's rum in a bottle. It's like what 151 would taste like if they wanted to taste like something.
Yeah. I got a question for you. This is off, sort of on topic, off topic. So I'm a chef. You're the beverage guy. Mm-hmm. How, when you, cherries, right? So you talk about, I'm thinking about me being a chef, and we having the same product in the same building but for different uses.
Right.
It's different, like, ordering structures. And some of the biggest battles I've ever had in my restaurants are, who the fuck told you to take my lemons? You know what I mean? Like, we be arguing over shit that costs 30 cents.
Right,
but it's
right,
just like,
right.
These are bar lemons. Kitchen will have 2 cases of lemons in the bag. Y'all run out of lemons and be like, nope, you got to go to Giant.
Right.
You
know, the chef
said, no, you can't tell. How do you separate? How do you keep everything, all love, like, how do you do it best?
I mean, and, you know, working in different restaurant environments, as you know, it just depends on how everybody gets along and, like, what the systems are. I recommend, you know, more collaborative processes. So, ultimately, when it comes down to money, that's an accounting thing, right? Everybody wants the restaurant to win, no matter where the fruit came from or what the use is. You still
use my shit and I use yours, somebody's cost can look better. And I'm talking about lemons and limes.
Right.
But if we're talking about these cherries, now, again, it's extreme. And if we're all trying to win, I'm being petty right now.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. At the end of the year, I've had bar managers to be like, you know, they want to charge me for an ounce of Narragansett. And I'm like, bro, I need an ounce of Narragansett. Yeah. You going to charge me for that? So,
yeah. I mean, so, like, I recommend communication to solve a lot of those problems and building into the program, like, what to do when that happens, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, but you got to look at it for what it is. It's really a good thing when you have cross-use of products, right? It benefits the restaurant as a whole because it's one less thing you got to worry about ordering, stocking, and accounting for. You might have to split the accounting, you know what I mean? But, like, that's somebody else's job. As long as you know what came in and you coded it right. Now, when it comes down to the last, you know, quart or something in the fridge, then, you know, I think that's when it comes down to priority, right? Like if you need to zest a case to get something popping for that night and they're trying to juice for tomorrow, then, you know, your need trumps whether it's theirs or not, right? So like if I need something for service that night and you just got backstop, what are we fighting for, right? The order will come in a day.
Because there's a certain time we just want to get petty. That's
and
why.
Some people, that's history, right? Because if you come from a place where it was antagonistic like that, then you bring it with you. And sometimes it's just a matter of sitting down, like, you know, like men or women or whoever, and having a conversation and saying, like, okay, look, I don't want to get into, you know, what happened in my past. So to make sure that doesn't happen again, let's just chop it up and figure out how we're going to do, you know, it's inevitable.
I'm with you.
That's
why people need to hire you, brother, because you take out the bullshit and say, hey, listen, we're all trying to win here.
Man, it ain't nobody got time to be all like hot and angry. The kitchen already hot. You know, behind the bar's hot. The cooler's hot. Everything's, you know, the temperature's hot enough in the place without getting all under your skin about some citrus.
My man, Now, Luxardo cherry is a little different, but we'll talk about that on the next time.
Yeah, that's a little more expensive. You got to take a little more care with that. But, you know, that's why you get the 3-gallon tin, and the 3-kilogram tin. You know, if you got a sneaker cup, ain't nobody going to miss it.
You lock them up. That's what you do.
Yeah. You get that jar. It's a problem. But you get the tin, you just dig a little scoop in there, and then, you know, they don't know what's
going on. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Appreciate you, man. Good to talk to you, brother.
I'm Rock Harper. Okay. And you've been listening to the Chef Rock Experiment, the podcast. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you've made it this far, take a moment to head on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another episode of the Chef Rock Experiment, TCRX. Until then, thank you for listening.